The following podcast contains adult themes and harsh language. Listener discretion is advised. So yeah, you've been warned, okay? Deal.
The Shared Desk, episode 18. Authors After Dark!
Suck it. And because we're dropping F-bombs in here, fuck you, Valentine. Jeez.
That's why we're married.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry for the slap happiness. Hey, you know what? It is time for another really just effed up episode of The Shared Desk. I am T. Morris.
All I've had today is like six gummy bears and some scotch.
We're all kind of slap happy around here. Just really uber slap happy. I'm getting to you. I mean,
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, who are you?
Philippa Valentine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silence.
You ever get tired of being wrong?
No, I don't think she ever does, but you know.
Okay. I'm going to come over there and stuff that whatever that is down your throat.
You know, it,
we love each other. Yeah, welcome to the couple's cast. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as you can tell, we are a little slap happy because we've had a pretty eventful eventful week since coming back from Authors After Dark.
Dropped from a great height.
No lie there. Yeah, you can find out all that you need to know about what's been going on with us over at tmorris.com. But in a nutshell, yeah, that's about the size of
donk.
It. Yeah, donk. The size of it was that the day after I got back from Authors After Dark in lovely New Orleans,
where we
Louisiana,
were treated like rock stars.
Where we were treated like rock stars. I got laid off, which is why we will not be going to FenCon. I'm sorry, baby. We can't afford
it. Unless anybody who's a rich Texan out there wants to get us out there.
Yeah, or some.
Do you know any rich Texans or audience?
Or somebody connected in Hollywood whose wife is self-pubbing a book that's blatantly racist. I mean, yikes.
See, that would be a strike against that if you moved a New Zealander into Texas.
Oh, yeah, but hey.
I don't know how, but that would somehow fix it.
Hey, I'm sure the woman that wrote, what is it?
I don't even want to mention this stupid book.
I'm sure she's a nice lady.
That chick was like the Pele of anal.
But I mean, and that pretty much sets the tone for what we've got coming up.
Yeah, because things got a little wild in New Orleans. Yeah.
Things got very wild in New Orleans. And instead of rehashing what you're about to hear, Pip, why don't you tell them about what they are about to hear?
We were in Authors After Dark in New Orleans. It was
authorsafterdark.org.
Yes. And we managed to get into our very nice suite a bunch of characters from Authors After Dark, including the magnificent Stella Price.
And you can find out more about her at stellaandaudra.com.
And she created Authors After Dark.
She created Authors After
Dark. It's one of the many reasons she's awesome. But
we got some time with Stella. We got a Writers Off the Clock. And yes, smuggled in through the luggage compartment, we do have Crazy Uncle Charlie coming to you from Authors After Dark in lovely New Orleans, Louisiana.
He's like a virus you can't scrub off.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is Authors After Dark, recorded live in New Orleans.
Woo! Beads!
Beads.
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 Nuns.
And booze. It's, we're all over the place. I am your host, T. Morris.
And I'm the other person. Philippa Valentine.
Yeah, there we go. So, this has been an amazing few days. And I need a nappy poo, baby. What are you?
You're not getting one.
Okay, let's go on around and let's meet our esteemed in studio guests. We'll start from
give us
my left.
Give us any blog, any.
Yeah, if you want to pimp a blog or a website of your choice, feel free. So go ahead.
Oh, hi, I'm author Carolyn Crane.
And you have. Do you have a blog, a website?
Yes,
Twitter address.
It's authorcarolyncrane.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, great.
I'm T. Tate with litstack.com.
No, you can just say your name. I have nothing to pimp.
There you go. I'm Chris Tate and I have nothing to put to head.
There we go. Therefore you do not get a bell.
Hi, I'm Susan Butler and I have a website. It's susanbutler.com. That's all I've got.
Okay.
I'm Sydney Bristol, like the alias chick, but with an L.
And you can find me at SydneyBristol.com. I'm an erotic romance author.
Woo!
Okay.
Congratulations.
I'm Leah Hagel. I'm a young adult zombie romance author. You can find me at LIAHABEL.com.
Hi, I'm Alex D. I don't have a website or a Twitter. I've had the marvelous good fortune to meet all these people in real life somehow.
I just dragged him off the street.
Well, you know, for that nice sentiment, yeah, you'll get a bell. Okay. Oh, wait, no. We're going to save you for last. We're going to save you for last.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you with the gym jams.
Hi, everyone.
I'm PJ Schneider, and I can be found at pjschneider.com. I'm an author of... I am an author of sci-fi and paranormal romance, as well as steampunk and urban fantasy.
And she's been on our show before.
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Matt, also known as Ord. That's at O-R-D underscore SC2. I'm here because of PJ.
Wait, you got a website, Jim? You got a website?
I do have a website. It is www.twitch.tv/OR_D. That's my live stream.
And in the back.
I'm Jen, and I tweet and blog under the name TwiMom227. And my blog is That's What I'm Talking About. It's found at www.twimom227.com.
Wait, hi Jack, I have a question. I always thought it was Twin Mom because maybe you had twins or something.
That's what I thought.
No, it's not. It's Twi Mom, short for Twilight Mom, because back many years ago, before I was read urban fantasy, before I read romance, I read Twilight and thought I was being original calling myself Twi Mom. You know? Oh. Yeah, it's really lame.
I have seen a couple of
We have the backstory. We have the backstory.
And now,
it's lame, but that's
And now.
No, you made it your own. That's okay.
Yeah. Special superstar guest. Please, sign
Great.
In.
No, that's awful.
No. Bitch, sign in.
I'm Stella Price. I'm the convention director for All This After Dark, an author, graphic designer, and all-around jerk of all trades. You can find me at www.stellaandaudreyprice.com.
And Stella Price is the organizer of Authors After Dark.
She's crazy.
And this is why we're here. We're here to talk primarily about Stella, but also talk to the other guests and attendees here. Stella, just first question. Why the hell do you put yourself through this?
Because I don't want to pay that crazy shit that RT tells you.
See,
it's not fair. I decided that we needed a convention in literature, especially in romance, that was fair and didn't cater to upscale New York publishing. As an author that's small press, I would have to fight tooth and nail to get anything at RT, whether it be a party or a panel spot. And panel spots, literally, you had to fight and kiss ass left and right. I got tired of it. I got tired of finally being able to be at the book signing and only being allowed 15 books and signing and selling out after 20 minutes and then sitting there for 3 hours doing nothing. I got tired of having to pay $600 and getting nothing for that kind of money. So I said, screw you, RT. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right. And that was it.
Woo!
Yay!
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
And I know I'm seriously, upset about it, but the truth of the matter is, when I see people spend that kind of money for RT and think that it's the best thing out there, I hate to tell everybody, and I'm going to tell you right now, authors outnumber readers 2-1 minimum at RT. Sometimes, most of the time, it's 4-1. Wow. So how are you going to meet readers when they let every single author come in? It's not right, it's not fair, and you're all fighting for those four people that are there. So I couldn't handle it anymore, and I said,
speaking
we need something
which,
better.
Yeah. I have a question for you, too, following on that.
Oh, you should know everything.
I do, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Hey. Are you a host on the show?
You know what?
Yes.
It's still a good question.
Are you she's popping her feet up on our furniture.
Wait,
our
shut up.
Thank you. My question is, I know of a couple of other conventions that are out there that are now starting to differentiate their registration so that authors are actually paying a bit more than readers because the authors are the ones, and catering to those authors or meeting their needs is what's the majority of the time and administration and things like that.
Oh, fuck that. I don't do that. I'm sorry. No, seriously, everybody is equal at AAD. Everybody pays the same price. Authors that want to be something more or do something more, they can do a party. They can do a reader event. They can take people out. I'm not going to sit there and charge you like, you know, $44,000 to do a party. I'm going to charge you exactly what the hotel is charging me. We make no money on this event. Not one dime. I spend 11 months a year and do nothing but this, and I make not one cent off of it. And it's because I believe in this industry. I believe that without the real readers, not the readers that are just going to come and think that they're just going to hang out with the big New York Times bestsellers, I believe that the real ones are the ones that are going to keep us.
Oh. Oh, we did it.
Thank you.
We totally did it.
No, I honestly,
she's
I honestly
an honest moment.
I knew ruined it.
You should hear some of the other shout outs he has just for you.
I'm drinking something that's horribly blue.
Oh, okay.
And it tastes like a blue ice pop, so it's even better.
It may, in fact, be antifreeze.
Mm-hmm. It is New Orleans, so who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so, wow, that's... How do you follow that up with? Okay, well, I'm going to speak from my point of view. Stella, okay.
Yeah.
400 people come to...
I hear this year.
Come, yeah, or here this year.
400 next year
people.
Will be 500.
Yeah, we'll talk about next year a little later. So, 400 people are here, and... I'm going to save my thoughts about how I'm feeling about this event. I'm going to turn it over to my lovely bosomy co-host Pip. Pip, what is your
that face was awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, it's a great face for audio.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Pip, you know, give us your feelings on what.
Well, Dee and I were talking about it. And we were saying that we've been to New York Comic Con and we've been to Dragon Con, and the intensity. I mean, this is a lot smaller of a convention,
yes.
But the intensity of it is just the same. And that's awesome. I mean, we had a great time doing the signing, and I really like the fact that it's not just the authors are, like, on the panels, and they're like, ah.
Yeah.
The authors are down there, and we really like the mixing of the people at the tables and getting to meet everybody like that. I thought that was totally awesome. It's different from any convention I've been to.
And I can speak from that same intensity that, you know, after a day at Dragon Con or after a day at New York Comic Con, I'm ready to go out, I'm ready to drink, I'm ready to party. Every day we were done with Authors After Dark, I wanted a nappy boot. Because you are a slave driving bitch.
Don't you forget it.
I mean, it's
dance, monkey boy.
Yeah, dance, dance, dance. Oh, look him. He's New York published. Dance for me.
I make you sing for your supper.
Yes, yes you do. And yes. We appreciate that.
It was a good supper.
The thing that I really stood out that I liked was that we know that other authors have issues with this, and maybe this means that Authors After Dark is not their event, but for us, we love the fact that author-reader interaction was required. It was a necessity.
It's paramount.
It's paramount. Why did you decide that? Why is that part of the whole...
The honest truth of that is, without the readers, we won't have a job.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Speaking as a reader, it is greatly appreciated. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Love it.
But the truth, that's the truth of the matter. Without the readers, we don't have a job. So readers at RT pander to the authors. At AAD, authors pander to readers. It's that simple.
I thought it was panhandling.
No. You want, if you want to keep your job, if you want to keep writing, if you want to know that what you do is appreciated, this is the convention you go to. It's that simple. There is no other way around it. I don't want people to come here and think, oh, well, I can just go and hang out with my friends and then come to the signing and it'll be fine. No, 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 no. I want you to go to the dinners. And it's a main activity. You know, it's where you actually get a chance to connect with every single reader that comes up to you. I don't want you to be sitting in a room by yourself with your favorite five readers that, you know, kiss your ass online. It's not about that. It's about meeting the people that are reading your books that aren't going to sit there and say, oh my God, you're the best ever. Oh my God, and do everything you ask. It's about the readers that are coming up to you and saying, you've changed my way of thinking, or reading you has opened up a whole new world to me. These are the people that are not going to be all over you online like the rabid fangirls. These are the readers that meeting you is going to change something completely, you know, profound. It's going to make it profound for them that they are going to keep reading you forever. You want to become somebody that's on the auto-buy list. And that is what this convention is about. Becoming an auto-buy. It's that simple.
And I'm going to add to that as story from the floor.
Me?
You want to go first?
Sure.
Or yeah, go first.
This is Leah, and I just want to say I got the weirdest compliment today, and I don't know why I thought it was weird. When I got back to my room, I thought, oh, it's really sweet. But somebody came up to me at the signing and said, thank you for being so personable and open and available this weekend. And I'm actually really shy, and I don't tend to say a lot, I feel. So that struck me as very odd. And I got back to my room, and I thought, I think it's the atmosphere of AAD that makes that happen.
It
where
is.
You're out there mixing with everybody. And I almost felt bad for her that she would have to thank me for that. I think every author
yeah.
should be that way.
Absolutely.
So it was really, really rewarding.
Yeah, I think, and this is PJ. Story from the floor, I was walking around the Samhain event this evening, and I sat down with a random group of people. Had no idea, like, I'd seen faces, don't remember anybody's names kind of thing. Knew that they were around, had waved at them, sat down, asked them how the event was going and whatnot, and they happened to decide to tell me, hey, you know, one of the awesome things about Authors After Dark is, you know, we get to meet these authors, and whereas they might never buy that author's books ever before, and they go, Dakota Cassidy, never ever thought I would ever buy any single one of her titles, and then I met her and realized what an awesome, awesome bitch she is, and I want to buy every single one of her books now.
Oh.
And I was just like, I was highly entertained by the fact that they were so taken in by her personality, and any of us who knows Dakota knows how incredibly awesome she is.
Yeah.
Right? And they were like, you know, she's no nonsense. They completely connected with her, realized how real she is, and they added every one of her books to their to-be-read list or bought it right there on site. And that's part of the culture of Authors After Dark, because they'd seen her at other conventions before, and I guess the culture was a little different. Dakota's always awesome, no lie, but the convention and the atmosphere make a difference. Go.
Well, I want to say one of the coolest. This is Carolyn Crane. I'm an author.
We didn't ask anybody to introduce themselves.
This is my second year
because I love this con.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. Woo. But one of the coolest panels I was on was called "What's on Your Keeper's Shelf," and I wasn't sure what I was going to say because I was like, well, why? You know, why is this audience going to be interested in my keeper shelf or these authors' keeper shelf? So we talked a little bit about it, but then we got the readers involved, and it was like the readers were on the panel, and everyone was kind of, it was almost like this group discussion on what we were always so excited about, what is on our keeper shelf and what do we love. And then these two women, and they were, one of them was actually crying about some like thing, you know, some author that they really loved. And it was just so cool to hear just be sort of, it was almost like we were all participating in this sort of group readerly hug.
And all the panels are really awesome like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're very interactive.
It's very much what we wanted. I mean, that's straight up very much what we wanted. I didn't want a bunch of authors sitting up at a thing saying, this is what we're talking about, and then afterward you can ask questions. It's really about the interaction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and this is your second year, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you've got it set up correctly where you sit there and say, okay, I know exactly how I'm going to rock this. And the new authors this year were hilarious. I had about 15 authors run up to me. Not you guys, because you, I mean, I talk to you guys. I talk to T and Pip all the time, so it's not a big deal. But I've got authors. No, I've got authors come up to me and say, how does this work? And I'm like, you just go, you introduce yourself, and you let the panel happen. And it either works or it doesn't. And it works really well for AAD.
It does. Well, I was going to say, I do one thing. You said you don't want the fangirls. Well, I kind of went fangirl.
That's different.
For these two?
No, that's different.
Before Jen goes into the whole fangirl thing, Jen came up and said, I hope you don't think we're, you know, I'm stalking you or something. But the thing was that we felt so out of our comfort zone. We were like, what do we do? Hi, Jen.
Where are you going, Jen?
Where are you going, Jen? We want to stick close to you, Jen. Give us a hug, Jen.
You're going to Pedal Brunch. We're going with you, Jen.
That is awesome.
We
Would you like us to get you a drink, John?
Speaking as a writer, I got to give an award to Abigail Barnett, and I think I scared her. I think she's actually frightened of me now because I'm fangirling over her so much.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, it's last year, I mean, I Mountain Jean Brook is one of my favorite authors, and she was one of the biggest reasons I went there. And I just sat there and I was like, okay. And I just told her flat out, I'm like, I'm sorry, I just don't know what to say because I can't believe I'm meeting you because, and I've said this over and over, authors are my rock stars. And so it just was such a neat, and so coming here this year, I felt a little more comfortable. So I recognized, you know, T and Pip. And so I went up and I said, you know, hi, you know, Jen, I hold my little badge up so they can see me. And I'm like, ah, you know, and then, but they totally made me feel so comfortable. And we had a codependency there.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then there was people like Carolyn, who I just met last year. And you talk about Autobuy. So I met her last year. We had dinner and I totally engrossed in conversation. And I got one of her books and I was like, all right, I this is on my to be read list. In January of this year, I read the first one. I emailed, I'm like, oh my God, I need everything that you have. And so coming here to see her again was such a thrill because,
yeah. And
you know,
fun for me too, because we met each other last year. Yeah.
And
oh my God.
So basically you're telling me that the idea works.
It totally works.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've expressed that several times because I go fangirl over there.
It's not fangirls. It's not fangirls. It's rabid, crazy online fangirls.
Yeah.
The ones that don't care to come and meet any other author. They just want to be with the author because that they love because it's a status symbol. That's not what I'm doing this for. That is, I'll be honest, I pretty much don't want them here anymore at all. And I tell them that. If you think you're going to come and monopolize the time of an author, I don't need you here. Because that is not what these other people have paid for. If the people want to come in and see Jeanine Frost, they're going to come in and see Jeanine Frost. And they're not going to wait 7 hours because she's got six people, like, literally hovering around her because they don't want anyone else near her. I don't do that. I don't want that. I don't approve of that. And I don't allow that. And a lot of people say that I'm bitchy about it and everything. But the truth of the matter is, this convention is fair. This convention is fair to all readers and all authors. And that is something that this industry is lacking, seriously lacking, is a fairness. You know, it's just the way it works. And I feel that if I can control a little bit of fairness in this, I can make other people's careers so much better and give them a chance to actually get there because perhaps they have an issue with an editor or an issue with a publisher or an issue with, you know, another author. Here, it doesn't matter. Everybody is the same and everybody gets the same opportunities.
Yeah, borrow something from T, from his panels as one of the ones who didn't look like the others. it was really cool for me to be in a position to help a lot of these authors get their events set up and get panels going and that kind of thing. And I also accidentally met an author that I've read before. And I didn't know until later that, oh, that was Teresa Myers. That's awesome. I've read her books. I'm a fan. But it wasn't like she was stuck up. It was just a matter of, hey, I'm helping another person accomplish something that they need to. And that's kind of the atmosphere throughout Authors After Dark.
We got some silent voices over here, so I want to...
Yeah.
Do I? No.
Yeah.
Hey, introduce yourself for Pete's sake.
He's just been drinking
more. Come on, Sydney.
Drink more since then. What do you want me to say?
Exactly. That's why I want you to talk now.
I'm
that's
feeling
the
kind
of best.
What's that? You're
Sydney,
drunk.
We want you to know...
I'm not drunk. I'm drinking a
No, cake. That's the second segment. I want you to talk now about your AAD experience.
What year are we? This is my first one.
And what is your first impression?
Don't worry, Stella's sitting here. She can take it.
This convention is crap.
It's not the first time I've heard that. And I'm sure it's not going to be the last time I've heard that. But it's okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, every convention is for every person.
That's right.
That's right. And now, Fickle, leap. But we leave your alcohol here. Now, seriously, Sydney, though, what were your impressions of this, your first
it's been a lot of fun. This is my first year being published, and I have 4 books out, and, you know, it's been a really whirlwind year for me. Yeah. Yay! So coming here, you know, I really just anticipated coming, and I'm going to really try to not talk too fast. I really just anticipated coming, you know, just kind of talking to people, maybe putting some faces with names I already knew. And I was getting into the elevator, and this is the first time it's happened to me. I was getting in the elevator, and this girl looks at my badge, and she goes, oh my God, I just read your new book. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I said that too.
And then she got yelled at for stealing Dakota's shit.
I know,
because Dakota Cassidy and I, in some regards, we're very the same. We're from the same city. We're very good friends.
And she
rails on me all the time for saying the same things that she does. But I'm just like, oh, I'm so sorry. No, but it's been a great experience. The culture in New Orleans has really, I think, just added a lot to the culture, the convention. There's been a lot of great conversations going out. I don't even own a smoker, and I hang out in the smoking sections just to talk to everybody.
That's where the cool kids are.
Yeah.
What's bad is I'm allergic to cigarette ash. And I'm popping my allergy pills. I just want to stay around and hang out a little bit more. There's another panel. I got 30 minutes.
And what about your thoughts on this?
I am an author, but I came here as a reader because I didn't do the whole author thing. So it's been fun. I met some people that I didn't think that I would, and I found some. I got to match some faces to Twitter followers, you know. And I'm kind of a Twitter addict. So.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have my laptop here in front of me tweeting.
I have not been tweeting pictures all night.
I totally didn't already post it.
Sure?
Yes. This is the AAD, not ADD, okay? Focus. Now, I'd like to switch it over to the even more silent partners over here. We got T, who wasn't even part of the conference, but I'd like to get her thoughts. She's been actually seeing this from the outside looking in. She actually came in for the reader, I guess you would call it
book
reader
signing? Machine.
Yeah. The book signing.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts after seeing the massive onslaught of people that were the book signing, and would you consider even coming here?
Absolutely. I definitely would consider coming. It's very... a very friendly environment, and I've been to cons before that were just, frankly, very scary. Just really, really scary.
It was the furries, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The dragon, Jesus Christ.
The furries always the ones that make it awkward.
Right. It was awkward, those other ones, and I was kind of scared. But I really like the environment. I like the interaction between the readers and the writers, and... how it's on an even keel. And I don't think you find that very often.
Yeah.
And so it is. And I mean, this is in my backyard, so I was definitely going to come.
Yeah.
And I was happy to meet Carolyn, who I've worked with before, and to meet you guys. And so I would definitely come back.
Even though we had a fake tea.
Yes, please tell that story.
Yeah, this is sort of the Twilight Zone part of Authors After Dark.
Towards the end of the signing.
So it's towards the end of the signing. The people descended upon us like locusts. Took all but one sad
one
copy of Spectre leaving behind, and this girl comes up and she goes, T, and I go, hey, and I said, I just texted you, and she's like, yeah, I know, and I said, wow, T, it's so great to finally meet you. She's like, yeah. And we hug, we post for photographs.
You were like, I would love to do a blog.
Yeah, hey, look, I want to blog for Litstack. You know, I want to tell them about Authors After Dark. She's like, yeah, I'd love that. I signed a book for her. I said, T, isn't this redundant? T. She's like, yeah, that's great. She goes off. 2 minutes later, T comes up and goes, hey, T. And I'm
like, who are
hey.
You?
There's another T.
She went, it's T. And I'm like,
what?
Wait a minute. What the heck? And we...
Oh, I had the same problem with somebody else.
So
apparently, two people are named the exact same thing at this convention, which I didn't realize. And I guess I took the wrong person to lunch, to breakfast the other morning.
Okay, so it's not just me.
What if it's the same girl going around telling everybody? Yeah.
But what was weird was that
she was going with it.
She was going with it. I was talking about Lit Stack. I was talking about specific tea take things. And this girl was like, yeah, sure. And
it is the same girl.
It wasn't.
She's a doppelganger.
Oh, I thought she was just too polite.
You thought you saw my doppelganger.
That's right.
There is another.
Wait, what color hair?
But yeah, that's just it. When I saw her, I was like,
"Yeah, but wait, was she wearing?" Because
the thing was, I saw her,
and it looked slept in because she sleeps in her wigs every year.
She was not wearing a wig.
Hardcore wig.
But I was thinking, okay, that must be Leah.
Off the clock,
you know, but that's her real hair. Wow, I didn't realize she was brunette. Okay, cool. Okay, right. Yeah. Hey, Leah. She's ignoring me. I'm like, wow, Leah's being a bitch.
She's in the zone.
I said she's in the zone, which is code for she's being a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
But then a minute later, I see Leah and she's in the hoop skirt. I'm like, okay.
Wow, she is amazing.
I'm like, she's not that quick of a change.
She's Cher.
Definitely not. No, I've roomed with her. It takes her at least an hour to get ready to go.
Exactly. And I was like, wait a minute, there is a fembot.
I started in steampunk as a clockwork girl, so that's not far off.
That may have been far off.
I'd have cloned you.
Now, before we wrap up this segment, I want to talk about being a future blogger, because you were a future blogger this year. How does one become
future? They said future.
You're a future blogger. What was it like being? How did you first off? How did you become a future blogger? And on top of that, What was it that you got to do or you got to experience that other bloggers here did not? T, take notes.
There was an application process, which I believe the 2013 I saw is sort of up.
It's up.
And it's only going to be open for like
three more days. Yeah, like 3 more days.
Okay.
We're going to get this up.
I'm paying attention.
And I obviously don't know how they were selected.
I can actually tell you guys exactly how that was done.
So I received notification. I was all like fangirl because I was excited, and because I had attended the year before just as a blogger, but not as a featured blogger. And then this year they had some criteria, and one of the things was to help spotlight the authors and the convention, which I enjoyed doing. One of the things was we had to do a total of 30 spotlights on authors, 10 of which were the New York published and 20 which were small press. It was a lot of work because you had to email each author, you had to do research on the author. Well, at least this is for me, this is what I did. I emailed a ton of authors, some couldn't do it, some could. By the way, I had no problems with any authors.
I know you didn't, and that's why we love you.
They were all great. And if they couldn't do it, they just told me they couldn't do it, or what, you know, if they dropped out or something happened. But so I would email them, I would research who they were and go to their, find out what they'd read. I gave them an option of either doing a guest post or an interview. I read some of them. I couldn't get to read all of them, but some of them, especially if they had novellas, that I tried to read them so I could give do a review as well. And then I would put that on my blog, and so it was a lot of work, and it went from October until June, I think, on my blog, and I think I told both of you, I am so thankful that I went through all that work, because I did some with people I knew, like I did one with Carolyn, but I was able to, quote, meet so many authors that I, last year, you know, just came in and said hi and kind of, you know, moved on, and this is like, I actually knew who they were, knew what they wrote, knew what was coming out. And so this weekend, it was so much fun trying to find every single one of them and say, you know, and they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, talking with you. And, you know, we would talk like, okay, when's something coming out? When can we put you back on the blog? And so that was something that, although it was like a job or a requirement, ended up being just an amazing, amazing thing. And even if I don't do feature blogger next year, I still would like to do that, you know, just because it's a great thing. And so, and then being here, there were 3 different parties, I think it was.
Yes, there's 3
that were dedicated just to those featured bloggers.
I received a bazillion books that I am...
Arcs up the ass, too.
Desperately trying to pack in my suitcase earlier today.
Arcs up the ass.
We have an appointment.
No, no. But,
I like big butts in the hand. I lie.
You just got to kind of do
Kensington did hook you guys up this year.
Yes, and so that was great. It was great. And I know, like last year, they did some presentations and some panels, and that you guys didn't do that this year. But I think it's back on again for next year.
Yes.
So that would have been fun. But like you said, I actually spoke up in several panels, and you know.
That's exactly.
You
know,
so. No, we didn't hear that at all.
I don't ever stop talking. Sometimes so shut up.
No, it was good.
Now, so this is Authors After Dark. Just a quick sum up of the madness, of the insanity, of the absolute balls nuts great time we've had.
Balls nuts.
Hey, there's a lot of
many people
there's
do not
like
have balls
involved here.
You are highly outnumbered at this point.
That's true.
It was awesome.
Okay, how about boobs nuts great time?
Yeah.
So Stella, is there anything in closing you would like to talk about concerning about 2013, because we're going to do that later, but about Authors After Dark 2012, apart from the fact, thank fuck, it's over.
Not quite.
It's not over yet, because tomorrow morning, my ass has to be downstairs at 7 a.m. to get ready to pull those goddamn bags for the baskets so everyone can win their stuff. I do know, though, that we raised almost $5,000 for the charity that we have this year. Jasper Animal Rescue Mission in South Carolina. They are fabulous. I got my piggy from them. I call her piggy.
Do you have a website for that?
JARM.org.
Okay. And so that pretty much... anything else about...
This year has been, out of the 4 years we've done this, the best. Everyone's been fabulous. The hotel has not been a dick.
Yeah.
The hotel is awesome.
The Royal Sonesta.
Awesome.
Stay here.
Yes, the Royal Sonesta in New Orleans on
Larry,
Bourbon Street.
Mickey, all y'all.
Yes, everyone is fabulous, and they are pushing for us to come back in 2016. So it looks like we're going to be working on a contract with them for 2016.
Vote yes.
Yes. Yeah. Let's just hope that I can come to a nice... contract with them, that'll work out.
So, Pip, anything you want to add about that?
Can we come back? That's about all I want to say.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
And you guys did get a damn good room, by the way.
Yeah, they have a nice room.
You guys got a better room than I do.
This is lovely.
Actually, my media girl has a side balcony room. I'm like, you dirty bitch.
We're going to talk about that in our next
episode. Writers Off the Clock.
So what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
No idea.
And we're back for Writers Off the Clock. We are in...
New Orleans.
It's the New Orleans. New Orleans for those of us from the north.
The north.
The north.
I can call them Yankee.
So New Orleans is.
It's
this is the
Judas.
Let me go ahead and just share with everybody. Pip and I were trying to figure out how would we describe New Orleans to people, and this is what we came up with.
Because we've been to Vegas.
And a lot of people.
I thought that was Gomorrah.
Yeah. Here's what we came up with. All right. So,
I kind of like Gomorrah.
Is this Sodom?
Here's what we came up with. Okay. So
it's Sodom and Gomorrah.
The main strip, you know, where you have the Bellagio, where you have Caesar's Palace, where you have the Excalibur. All right, that part of Vegas is your 20-year-old porn star.
She's got
the perky tits, she's got the tight ass, she's got the get it here, you know, tat that's going down the, down the side.
That's not on Bourbon Street.
And she's wait for it. And she's
so rough.
She's basically all perky, like, oh yeah. So you know, that kind of thing. Then you go to the other side of the strip, you know, the classic Vegas where the Plaza, the Golden Nugget is. That's the 30-ish, closing in on 40-ish porn star, The boob job needs a bit of a touch up. The butt's starting to sit. Wait. The butt's starting to sag a bit. The get it here tat, which is pointing towards the hooch, is now pointing towards the kneecap. You know, but she's still hanging in there. Then we have New Orleans.
Those girls are rough as hell.
She is the 50-year-old prostitute who's got the smoldering cigarette between her fingers.
No, she's going,
Cher, just nudge me when you're done. I know you're enjoying yourself. That's New Orleans.
No, when you walk down Bourbon Street, the amount of girls that are standing in the doorways of all these like sex shops and with their episiotomy scars hanging out for all the world to see. You're just like, my God, you're someone's mother. You know? It's so sad. It's horrible.
They're huge ones, too.
Yeah.
They had a big kid. They had more than one C-section. Multiple.
Oh, yeah. Was it last week?
I just have to say that there is
no, the bandages and stitches.
Oh, my God. Kind of desire.
No. Okay, wait. The Hustle Club here, you know, that's classy, quote unquote. It's the Big Daddy's live sex shows that got me, because as we're walking by, there's two girls making out in the thing, and the guy's like, "You want to see more? Come on in." I'm like, "Oh, good Lord in heaven."
I am here with my 60-some-year-old mother. I am so ashamed that we used the Larry Hustler, like, barely legal club as a landmark.
So you go past the Larry.
We're not to the barely legal club yet. We're not to the hotel.
Once you see the barely legal,
but
you're nearly there.
But if you get to Hollywood, you've gone too far.
Yes. From my room, you can see... Little darlings. And let me tell you, none of them are little darlings. They are some rough, rough chicks. I don't know. They were rode hard, thrown away right.
Oh,
I feel awful about it.
And I don't want to know why they were wet. Yeah, exactly.
I feel awful about saying that, but sweet. Right. Zombie Jesus. Somebody needs to exorcise this town, because the entire street smells of stale beer and desperate women.
My mother is awesome. The rain has been, the first few days was horrible here. Nobody told me it was monsoon season. And the streets flooded. It was up to like halfway along the tires of the cars the first day. My mother and I got caught in that. We had to wade back to the hotel. My mother had a cat scratch on the back of her leg. My mom was raised on horror movies. She raised me on horror movies. She's literally hobbling around the hotel screeching, "I'm patient zero! You don't understand!"
I can understand.
Your mom is like the coolest mom ever.
I love my mother.
Right, and definitely no one here went in any of those places at all.
No, Alex.
I can tell you where it is.
I think New Orleans is the only place that I could think of where I walked in to what I thought was a pizza joint. And I walk in there and I see what I think are Slurpee machines. And then I go, "Hey, I wonder what, oh my God, they have Long Island iced tea Slurpees." Hurricane. White Russian.
And that's why this is where the town regime gets out.
And that's I blushed for about 5 seconds.
Then they started playing the Humpty Dance,
and this is when I found that I realized that T and I are separated birth, because we both look at each other and we go, "My name is Humpty. Humpty, I like my oatmeal funky."
That's a great song to go with New Orleans, I think.
Yeah. Yes. And I just, you know, for 5 seconds I blushed and then I said, "Give me a large." And that's something I love about New Orleans. It's like, it truly is the frat party that never ends.
Especially today.
It's the red dress run today. Sweet, suffering Judas.
No.
The amount of men walking around in women's clothing is hilarious.
They don't look good in it.
No, they don't. We saw this guy. I thought he actually was a tranny. Because he was wearing leather and vinyl, and his ass was hanging out, and he's walking with this strut. And we're like,
"But did he manscape?"
And he looked like a wet rat. His hair was such a mess. And oddly enough, I will tell you guys about this one crazy guy that decided to just walk into our office today. For Authors After Dark, we have an office where we put all of this, you know, promo and goodies and blogger stuff and everything.
Box.
This guy just walks in wearing an all red spandex suit.
kind of like Deadpool, with a tutu on.
Don't you malign my Deadpool.
He was not wearing the hood, all right?
Jeez.
But he's wearing a tutu, and he goes, oh, my God, what are you doing here? And
fabulous.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm home, because my next-door neighbors are, like, uber, uber nasal gay. And I love them to death. And they know it. They're like, yes, Renee's all gay. It's okay. So this guy walks in. And he's like, oh, my God. What are you doing? And we're like, we're boxing up books. It's the end of the convention. Oh, my God. Did you have a book signing? Did everybody sell books? What are you doing? What kind of books are they? So this crazy drunk guy is hanging out in our office. And we're trying to figure out a way to get him out. And he just looks over at... one of my other people, Helen, and Helen just looks at him, she goes, can I help you? He goes, yes! And then she goes, with what? I don't know! Helen looks at me, and she goes, should I get him out of here? I said, yes! She ushers him out,
crazy.
Closes the door, and said, what the fuck was that? He was hanging out in front of our window, in front of our door for about 20 more minutes. What's going on? Hi! So, if you guys see some crazy guy in a red spandex suit...
There's like 100 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say.
It's
going
to be more space on under the suit.
Well, it's just awful.
Oh,
one came in, we were waiting in line to get into the book signing today, and so there's a group of us standing there, and one comes, there are like five of them standing there, but one has got literally a fifth of vodka with the spout, you know, and he's sitting there just guzzling. I mean, like, I was going to puke just watching him. It was like Smirnoff. I mean, it wasn't even, like, you know.
It sounds like my brother-in-law.
Yeah, and he's doing that. So then he comes over, and he starts, like, all the ladies in line, and I mean, AAD attracts a lot of women from... teenagers all the way up to moms, you know, like, well, I'm a mom, but, you know, like, moms.
And most of them are
grandmas. And so, and he started, like, come on, and he's, like, trying to pour shots down everyone's, finally,
security.
Yeah, finally security came over and got him out of there, but I was, like, seriously, where else would you see something
crazy
like that?
Shit like that?
Coming in and trying to pour alcohol down people.
Because I don't know about you, but a book signing is always better with a shot.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're doing wrong.
Yes.
We need to have alcohol at every station.
Next year.
Come by, get a shot, and we can do it next year because it's in Savannah.
Go to each author. Exactly. They each have a different kind of shot that they
around the world.
That's what we called it around the world in college. It's like every place you stop had a different drink.
Well, we need the pop crawl.
Now, okay,
that will end up. That will end up bad. I know. People are going to be passed out in the hallway.
What's the worst that could happen?
They're going to end up passed out in the hallway. Their ass is in the air.
I would like to turn the mic over to Pip, being the foreigner in here.
Yeah.
And being the person who is trying to experience all of America. What were your thoughts of New Orleans?
Oh, I know.
Well.
See, I told you those faces she makes are hilarious.
Well.
I wish you guys could see this.
Kind of screwed up on one side. Her one brow is up.
She looks very dubious.
She looks like she knows what she's...
Well, I have been thinking about this for a while. I mean, I've been to New York. I've been to San Francisco. I've seen a little bit of America. Until I came here, and then I realized...
And then you saw all of it.
I have not seen everything.
Things that you didn't ever want to see.
Yeah, the one thing that stands out to me was when we were walking back, we went out and got a few... we had some beignets, and we came back. Mm. But there was a guy who I swear looked like my granddad.
As my grandmother calls him... Benny's. I'm like, what? She goes, the G is silent. I'm like, really? Yeah, yeah.
But this guy looked like my granddad, who happens to be dead.
Oh, no. Wait. Does he look like your granddad as he's dead or before he died? Because that makes a difference.
No, what
in
makes
the story.
Zombie granddad.
Next. Let's just wait. Just wait until how she saw her zombie granddad.
Yes, he was wearing a red dress, which is also strange for granddad. But he was... The thing I saw was the lime green thong that was jammed up his butt crack.
Sexy!
And the back of his dress was all ripped all the way down.
Someone had an encounter in the hallway.
Yes. Oh,
man.
Granddad, I thought you were dead.
You should be at this.
You should be. But I have to say, as we were walking around, I was like, oh, this. There is no other town in America, surely, that is not New Orleans.
No. Miami comes close, apparently.
Oh.
Especially like the south area of Miami supposedly comes very close to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've
like the and, a place near where
well,
you live.
Here, let me understand something. You guys understand something. In this country, there are three cities, only three, that have a no liquor while walking law.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans, Savannah, and Key West.
So when are we going to Key West?
It's not.
When are we going to Key West? When are we going to Key West?
Never! AAD will never go to Florida, and I state this now!
Why?
There is too many giant cockroaches in Florida!
Thank you!
And I will not go anywhere near them!
And considering where you're from,
yes,
that's
yes, exactly. And I'm from New York,
cockroaches
so.
Have feelings, too.
Yeah, and I don't want to feel them.
And I don't have my books, and that's what's important.
Yes, yeah, and no, there's three cities in this country. Vegas is different. Vegas has no law on the strip. Once you leave the strip, there is a law. Like they will get you for it.
Take your hand grenades anywhere.
Yeah, you can say yeah, you can't do that. So here in New Orleans and in Savannah, which is AAD next year, and Key West, you can pretty much get away with anything on the streets because of the amount of alcohol you can consume while walking. And it's interesting because if you've ever been to other places like San Francisco or New York or Philadelphia, it's a completely different vibe. This place is like, it is Sodom and Gomorrah wrapped up in Caligula's court. Okay?
In Caligula's jockstrap.
Yes, jockstrap.
Lime green one.
His lime green jockstrap.
Yes.
Shoved up somebody's ass. That exactly.
That is now the name of my band.
Caligula's jockstrap.
There is a whole part of New Orleans that was we were fortunate enough to go see. Like I went on a walking tour of the Garden District today.
Fabulous.
Unbelievable. And I think that's the cool thing about having it at locations like this is that and then having the free time to go do the exploring. So it was really neat to go see some of the other parts of New Orleans.
Normally I don't leave the hotel for any city we're in because I'm working the entire time. When we were setting up this year's convention, I said, fuck, we'll do Bourbon Street. They gave us amazing rates, and it's exactly where everyone wants to be anyway. Mm-hmm. I've been able to actually leave the hotel and see things without going, fuck, I gotta get our taxi, I gotta go here, I gotta go there, and I gotta be back in 25 minutes, eat my ass. But no, seriously, it's come to the point where this has been probably one of the best trips for me for this convention because of the fact that I could actually be in the city and say, you know what? Everyone else is having all these amazing experiences and I finally got to as well. So
I would say
I'm thankful for it.
I would say that for all its absolute Twilight Zone bizarreness, especially, you know, when we had our local tour guides basically just tell us.
But what we remembered anyway.
I do have one complaint. Where was Alexander Skarsgård?
I'm trying to explain to Pip. I have done this over three shows now. I'm going to do it on this recording. There is no one here in Louisiana that looks like Alexander Skarsgård. Or Bill, or Jason. They look like Sheriff Barfleur, but that's about it. Nobody from True Blood is really in here riding piggyback.
I saw
like
them riding piggyback
no,
on each other.
No, you didn't. That was called television, baby. Okay. Right. Oh, that's
Can someone just explain one more thing to me before we go? One more thing.
All right.
Why are there old people throwing beads at young people?
Because old people are scary and wrong.
Okay.
Everybody likes boobs.
And speaking of scary and wrong.
Oh, no.
Writing advice from Crazy Uncle Charlie.
Okay, so no one's really surprised that in New Orleans, Sodom and Gomorrah, wrapped up in Caligula's jockstrap, that Crazy Uncle Charlie has turned up. And he is that. That is generally the response to Crazy Uncle Charlie. Charlie, we're gonna field some questions about writing. You ready?
My God, it's like Andrea Thompson showed up. Jesus Christ!
I think you've scared Stella.
Yes, you have.
We can't stop laughing.
Before we go any further, I just have
to. I feel like I'm in fear and loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Don't stop, it's backcountry.
Still, Bryce, I just have to say something real quick. You are a beautiful woman. I'm looking at you right now. I could easily see you in my harem. Breaking me over your knee like a dog.
I do have a writing crop, so that works.
Charlie, we're gonna get some writing quiz.
Give me a second, I'm in the zone.
Oh.
I want you to look at me. Look at me, Stella. Stella, look at me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, Stella, come on. Stella, I could make you part of my harem. And you would have the Adonis DNA spread all over your body.
All over my body, you noticed this, right?
Charlie. Okay. Has anyone got any honest writing questions for Crazy
Uncle Charlie? I'm actually kind of a scared of Uncle Charlie over here. He kind of reminds me of my uncle.
Chunky. Sorry.
That's sad.
It's a little sad.
It is pretty scary, actually.
Okay, I normally write in first person, but I've had several conversations with readers during this weekend where they were telling me that they just can't get into first person, they prefer third person, and I've tried writing in third person.
I enjoy it in third person.
It feels colder, it feels as if I'm talking about people instead of inhabiting them, so I'm wondering, how do you overcome that obstacle?
Good question.
Before I answer that question,
okay.
I have to say something. You are a beautiful woman. You are cute.
DNA.
You are perky, and I could easily see you part of my harem. Just a little wind-up doll.
I don't need the Adonis DNA. I was actually watching live with Charlie Sheen.
I could have
the tiger blood, so I totally.
I could have you in my F-18 of awesome. I could have you in so many ways that we could be outlawed even here. Yes,
unless you have metal legs, Charlie, it's not going to work.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
First person.
Yeah, how do you handle writing third person?
How do you handle writing first person and third person and all the people involved?
I think he's stuck on the F-18.
It's very simple. First, if you want to really capture the essence of third person, what you need to do is you need to take your head, stick it inside a freezer box. When you stick it inside that freezer box, just contemplate.
Stella has a ban on giving her head.
Just go on ahead and let the frost soak into your pores, soak into your nasal passages, and just enjoy the essence of sleep. Of course, you could also enjoy the works of other authors in third person. By doing so, you could go on ahead and find out from the masters exactly how they handled the prose, how they handled the juxtaposition, how they handled the structure of a story. By then, you can decide, is third person my voice or is first person my voice? By all means, find the voice that's in your style.
Can I add to that, Uncle Charlie?
Oh. You're a beautiful woman, so I think you can get away with anything, right?
I'm armed. I'm fucking armed.
I'm coming to you, my vocation.
I'm sure you're gonna try.
But just remember something. That while your head's in the freezer, you'll find that little moment of absolute genius. Winning.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Is there anyone brave enough for a second question?
Oh, hell no!
Okay. I have a second question, but I want to add to the first question real quick.
Go away.
In addition to the Uncle Charlie's freezer comment, there's also the idea of exploring deep POV. And when you explore deep POV, it allows you to get that touch of voice. It's like talking inside a freezer.
She's not getting the joke.
Clearly not, Uncle Charlie.
And I'll tell you why she's not getting the joke. Because the person standing behind her, I have to say something to you, sir. Mm. You are a beautiful woman.
I'm sorry. Thank you, honey.
Is there anyone else?
I'm waiting for, and you look marvelous.
Okay, so here's my second question.
This is
the second question.
My little Asian doll.
She was
We're all here in New Orleans, and this is my first time here in New Orleans. And if you are ever thinking about writing a setting in a new setting in a new city, how do you absorb? How do you get the feel of a place so that you can set a story in that place?
I'm waiting for him to say filthy hookers and booze.
You could start with filthy hookers and puke. But here's my thought. Public urination is totally underrated.
This is why my mother is patient zero.
And when one urinates in public, it's actually freeing. It's something that brings us back to that time, kind of like an altered states, but with less peyote involved. And with public urination, you tend to find out that nature is all part. It's all part of the grand cycle. Travel, however, is a wonderful thing to do. I know of your profession, and I know that travel is something that is essential. Take photographs, take recordings, listen to the ambiance of the city that you're in, and you will find those little gems that will make your story stand out, that will give them moments of realism, that will give them moments that your readers can connect with. And throw a whiz. Just throw one. Just get it out of your system. Whether it's alcohol, water, just get into your absolute base need of public urination. Duh, winning.
I have a follow-up to that.
No one's getting this joke. When I say duh, winning, it's done. You move on to the next question.
It's New Orleans. Come on.
It is a new question, but it's...
But before you go on with your follow-up, can I just say something real quick? Just one little thing? My God, you're a beautiful woman. You know, I realize you're a mom here, but I'm kind of into that. So you know we can play the ABCs.
Jolly,
we can play ABCs. The
Jolly,
old
ABCs. Back on track,
mom. Back on track.
That was that public urination advice was great for a setting that's a real setting. But what if you're a fantasy sci-fi writer? How do you do with that? How do you get into a new locale? If it's not on this earth, or if it's not even real.
Public defecation is really
I think that's illegal, Charlie.
Not in New Orleans. But besides public defecation...
The horses do it all the time.
Yes. You have to ask something. Does an author shit in the woods? The answer is yes. They do. And when you're trying to go into a fantasy science fiction setting, sometimes public defecation in the woods is a beautiful thing. It truly is. It's just something that is all part of the circle of life. We eat, we consume, we shit. That's the way things are. However, you could take your fantasy science fiction setting and base it off of historical past, present, or future. Look at Philippa Valentine's Geist. Geist was actually based off of some different types of culture, if I believe, of Eastern Europe, were it not? Of course they were. That is what she did for her fantasy setting. However, I can't say that when Philippa Valentine doesn't shit in the woods, it's not a beautiful thing. Duh, winning!
I'm never going camping with you.
No, never. Okay, I think I have to drink.
One more question.
I don't know
one
if anyone's more, brave enough question. To have a third Sydney. Question. Sydney!
Okay, so this question was posed to a lot of authors during the convention. The answer has always been very fascinating. And it comes up in Menage whenever you have two men and one woman sharing a bed. How do you handle the pronoun usage of he, his, who's doing what with who and how and
good
where?
Question.
I'm sure Charlie knows all about Menage.
I was going to say the harem's coming up.
That is a fantastic question. That is a brilliant question. And my God, you're a beautiful woman. You are a beautiful painted woman of forbidden sexual perversions. And right now,
I think he got you, Sid.
I do believe that I could find a place in my harem for you, my lovely, lovely illustrated
woman. But the
problem
is here, you're saying you could. I need a little bit more of a dominant man, so sorry. Sorry. I have to pass.
Burn.
Just as I'm about to pass on your question.
Oh.
We had a beautiful room here once upon a time. Yeah. Now it smells of cheese again. I don't know how that happens. But well,
that is not our fault. That is yours.
Yeah.
It's not. It's it. Look, look, Charlie.
It's Charlie's fault. I can only explain
to you this way. We buy him a ticket, and every time he travels with us, he insists on traveling in the baggage compartment. I don't know why. It just happens. So now we have reached the end of this incredible, epic-sized look at Authors After Dark. And Stella, 2013, what's going to happen?
What's not going to happen?
Tell us your evil plan.
Tell us your evil plan for world dominance.
Well, we're looking at a YA day on Saturday, wow. Extra.
Wow.
Sponsored by four of the six Big Six in New York.
Wow.
Nice.
We're looking at an extra riverboat dinner one of the nights, sponsored by five authors. We're looking at an entire hotel that's just ours. From Sunday to Sunday.
Oh my God.
Of course, our usual corsetier and tattoo artist that are there to fulfill all your debauchery needs. And of course, with the publishers, they're just amazing. And they've already said to us that, you know, they're going to give us about 4,000 books. So that's, I mean, it's crazy.
And to put you on the spot, can we come back, please?
Yes.
Okay.
One rule. I saw it outside the hotel. Don't feed the alligators.
Yes.
You know, some girl showed me this picture of feeding alligators marshmallows, and I was like, oh, that dwarf or reptilian.
Come on, Charlie. Let's go to Savannah.
We're in Savannah. We're at the Riverfront Marriott for the week of, for the convention is the 15th through the 18th, so we're there, obviously, before and after. It's going to be one of those wild rides because, like New Orleans, Savannah does not have any problems with drinking on the streets.
But if we have the entire hotel, we can just drink in that hotel.
Well, yeah, but I mean, when it comes down to it, there's Wet Willie's, which is a slushy place just like down here.
Oh, sweet
there
ass.
There is right up the street slushy from it. There's the Pirate House.
Daiquiri's.
And it's a slushy. From New York City, it's a slushy.
Well, you have like 4 days. You have 4 days, T. You've got to. We'd love to see you show up as a featured blogger.
Awesome.
We were talking about the responsibilities of being a blogger, and with everything that T has on her plate, which also includes three daughters. One of them's a teenager.
Yes.
She still manages to produce one hella kick-ass blog.
Thank you.
Which I'd like for you again real quick, because you've shown such great support to me and Pip. What is that blog again?
Litstack.com.
And for showing more love for the bloggers, where is your blog again, Jen?
It's twimom, T-W-I-M-O-M, 227.com.
And do we have any other bloggers left here tonight, or are we just all bloggers?
Anything you want to push,
anything else you want to push or pimp?
My book comes out next month.
Ooh. And what is the title of your book, You Perkiness?
It's Dearly Beloved. It's the second in the Dearly series, which I cheekily refer to as Gone with the Respiration, and Goodreads and other sites have picked up on that, so we're going with that.
And Stella, I cannot say this any more sincerely. From the bottom of my heart, I'm going to let Pip give her a little thanks as she bobs her tea. This has got to be the most full-on event I have ever done in my 10 years of being an author, and I had an absolute blast. I am tired. I'm exhausted. I want to go out and dare the red trannies that are out there right now and get myself another slushy. I dare
Uncle Charlie to go out.
Do it.
If I do, if
you
I
might
was,
get a little surprise when you add someone to your harem out there.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
It's always a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
It's always a trap.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
But no, seriously, this has been absolutely phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I really do try to make it an event that everybody's going to want to go to,
that they're going to want
to come back to.
We don't know what we did, but we have been told that we made a really good impression with the raiders here.
Oh yeah,
free bourbon we were handing out.
You popping over and doing the blowfish in the window of my pantry.
That was so awesome.
People loved that.
Crazy Uncle Charlie really is actually very close to Crazy Uncle T.
That is a possibility. Pip, what are your thoughts that you want to say?
It's like no convention I've ever been to, and that's a great thing. Because,
that's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we're going for.
So if we could help spread the word to our, different people in our little bubbles.
I will tell you that for Savannah, we open up registration on the 21st of August. We expect to sell out before Christmas this year. Mm. We sold out in 3 months last year. No other romance convention has done that ever. That's a convention, not an event like Lori Foster. I mean, a real convention where we actually feed you. It's more than one day. We do, not only panels, but events, full events. No other romance convention has done that in the history of romance conventions. So I got props for that. I'm sorry, but I got it.
Yeah.
So we are looking to sell out. We will sell out before Christmas this year. The hotel literally sells out in less than 2 months. This year we had to double our room block.
Nice.
Next year they gave us the entire hotel, so it is going to be sold out. What we have already set up is 110% more than any other convention that you have out there. I don't care if it's their 300th anniversary, like some that are touting that and telling that people, oh, it's so awesome, you can't wait to come. I'm telling you right now, I don't hide anything. I keep you guys abreast of everything we're doing online, on Facebook, on Twitter, everything. So it's one of those events that you really want to be a part of because it's for you. It's for you as the reader, because that's who we love.
And quick plug, we keep stuff. Stella keeps the AAD forum going all year round to answer questions and things like that, and really provide an awesome book club kind of area for people who are interested in the authors that participate in Authors After Dark. And so there's website? Stuff to check it out.
What would that website be?
It would be www.authorsafterdark.org. Org, people, org. .com doesn't win.
And Pip, where can people find us online?
PJValentine.com, TMorris.com, Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.com, EroticaAlacarte.com, TheShadeDesk.com. I don't know where else.
I think that about covers it.
Look at the show notes.
For all of us here who have never been on a podcast before, or who are new to podcasting, just remember that The Shared Desk is covered by a Creative Commons, no derivative, share alike 3.0 United States license. Eat me, Valentine.
You missed the attribution.
What? Oh, suck it. Just say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Charlie.
Okay. And we will ask you once again, even in New Orleans, at your own peril, enjoy the ride.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.